Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher.
Many of you know I have an older son named Kerryon Franklin. In May, he'll be 33. For many years, we have had a toxic relationship with him as a family. We've tried for many years through counseling, through therapy, to try to rectify this private family matter. Recently, my son and I had an argument that he chose to record. I felt extremely disrespected in that conversation, and I lost my temper. And I said words that are not appropriate. And I am sincerely sorry to all of you. I sincerely apologize.
Well, that's the public apology gospel music legend Kirk Franklin issued after his 32-year-old son released a profanity-laced recording of an argument between the father and son. Now, we are not going to play the actual recording. You can find it. All you have to do is Google it. There would just be too many beeps for you to understand what's being said. But it raises some very important issues for families and conflict. Celebrity or not, it happens to all of us. So how do you fix it? Well, joining me to talk about this are Junetta Barnes. She is the First Lady of the Empowerment Temple Amy Church in Baltimore. And also Dr. Robert Evans, licensed clinical professional counselor. And of course, we're going to hear from you as well, the listener. Give us a call. Lines are open at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I invite you to tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or you can find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. First Lady Barnes, thanks for joining the program.
Thank you so much for having me. So happy to be here.
Absolutely. Dr. Evans, thanks for joining the program again.
Oh, no question. Thank you for having me.
So let me first set the table because both of you have adult children. And so that's a perfect opportunity for us to really discuss not only this situation, but more broadly, the sometimes toxic situations that all families encounter with adult children, minor children, and each other. But First Lady Barnes, let me ask you, what are your thoughts about the recording, the apology, etc.?
Yeah, thanks so much. You know, so many thoughts, so many emotions. First of all, it was sad. It was sad. I mean, I think that anyone hearing a black father speaking to his black son in that tone was definitely disheartening. And so that was the first thing. It was very sad. And then secondly, you know, I honestly, my position on that, I felt sorry for the son. I felt sorry for the whole family. It's just a very, very unfortunate situation. But I think that as a father, at the end of the day, you saw a hurting son reaching out, crying out. I don't necessarily agree with how he did it, but we all heard of, you know, hurt people hurt people. And I think as a parent, we have to set the example. We have to set the tone. And honestly, I wouldn't speak to my worst enemy in that tone, in that, you know, in that way. And so it was a really sad situation.
Dr. Evans, when you heard the recording, and Kirk Franklin has said that one of the things that was not played was that he reached out to a family counselor, someone that the family knows well, that was not heard. His son did not release that part of the conversation. But clinically, what are you hearing in that kind of situation?
Oh, man. there's so many levels to this sort of incident, and there's so much information that is untold and that we're not privy to, that we can't see. And like you said, having an adult child and working with families, working with parents and children in toxic relationships and helping people to overcome those, you know, I hear a couple of things. I hear someone who definitely needs some work with communication, and anger management, emotional regulation, things of that nature, of helping him to be able to not give away his power. Because when you are in a position of authority, you don't have to yell, you don't have to scream, you don't have to curse, you don't have to do any of that, right? But the people that are closest to us are the people that are able to get to us in that way. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we are only privy to part of their relationship, but just a small snippet of that does not give us enough information to place any sort of judgment. I would say that, you know, definitely the way in which he talked to his son, you know, it's not even about it being his son. It's just in general talking to someone in that way. We got to learn how to communicate in a better way, right? I think that especially. But when it comes to toxic relationships, regardless of who you are, family, I'm an advocate of minimizing stress and being in control of our stress. And we have to do that by way of controlling our relationships, especially adult relationships. So I've heard people referring to him as a child, 30 years old, you know.
32.
Minus the curse words and yeah. Minus, you know, all of that, you know, yes, absolutely. Check your son, check whoever needs to be checked. Right. So, you know, we have to establish boundaries with our relationships, family or no family. And we get to do that when you're an adult and you're independent. And I don't know all the dynamics of their relationship, you know, enough to speak on exactly what's going on there. But there's definitely some help that's needed all around the board.
Come on, Doc. Yeah, yeah. Wait a minute. Doc, come on. You mean to tell me you've never cursed out your child?
Well, you know.
Come on. Tell the truth and shame the devil. Come on. We're being honest here. Transparent.
You know, I can lie to you and tell you that I didn't black out on my older son. And, you
black
know,
out.
There's been times where, you know, we definitely had to have a man-to-man conversation. But I remember when he was 18, he had the ability. He was the only person on earth that had the ability to get me to scream at the top of my lungs. Right. Now, I remember the day when I said, you know what? Wow. You know, you absolutely have power over me right now. I'm not going to yell at you again. And so from there, changed how I communicated with him, because I was aware that, oh, wow, I don't even have to. If I wanted to destroy you, all I got to do is unplug my resources. I never have to yell at you. I can whisper. Right?
Yeah. I mean, let me just say this. I mean, I have a 26-year-old, a 21-year-old, and a 14-year-old. I have never, ever, and would never speak to my children in that tone. I think at the end of the day, don't get it twisted. Of course I've gotten upset. I mean, you already know, 26-year-old's a girl, the 21-year-old's a boy. And so they're grown. They're trying to be adult. You know, they think they're grown. They're trying to tell you what to do. You've been there, done that. But with that being said, there's certain boundaries we don't cross. And I really have to address the fact that we said, okay, this is a 32-year-old man. But what I think we heard was the 5-year-old broken boy. So we talk about the fact that just because your numbers increase in age does not mean that that brokenness has healed. You have 62-year-olds who are dealing with pain as a child. And so I think what we saw was a display of the broken child. Just because you increase in number and time goes by, that does not mean that that hurt goes away. And so to me, I don't agree. Let me be clear. I don't agree. That was not the best way to do it. But when you talk, and see, my thing is I have that same family dynamic in our family. We're a family of 3 girls until I was 12 years old, and mom and daddy came in the room and said, oh, by the way, you got a brother at 12. I'm like, I got a what? So my brother, who's out there today, my father and him have had a contentious relationship. You best believe you get my dad and my brother in the room, and our argument is going to happen because he had so much hurt and pain. We were raised as 3 girls until I was 12 years old, and all of a sudden this guy comes. We don't know him from nowhere. And that whole dynamic is really interesting. So even though the brother was grown, you saw the young man in him crying out. That's what I see.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are talking about the Kirk Franklin controversy and toxic family relationships. What is the antidote for the toxicity? How do you fix it? If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Let us talk to the caller that we have on the line right now. Caller, go right ahead.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, please, go right ahead.
Okay. My comment is that, you know, these type of conversations, and this happens all day, every day in people's households. It's just never really, it's not publicized like it is now. I mean, people have these kind of conversations and fights all the time. But, you know, I have three daughters, and I used to have to pull their chain, too, and let them know, you know, what's going on with me, and let them know that, you know, this is, listen, they better listen to me, and it's not no other mess going on. But my question is that I'm wondering why the son felt the need to take something personal that's inside of your household out to everybody, to the world, to hear. That you don't take that outside your household. You can handle those problems inside your household. And I'm just wondering, I haven't heard him speak at all about what was his motives for that. But and sometimes, you know, you're talking about fixing these kind of problems. Sometimes these problems can't be fixed. I mean, sometimes it's irreplaceable, you know?
Yeah. What do you think about that, Doc?
Well, you know, I think she brings a good point. Again, you know, when it comes to our relationship, I mean, I'm under the belief that nobody owes nobody nothing. So, you know, there is no owing you anything. You know, everything is choice. People give up their children in adoption. People put their babies in the trash can. When you are giving birth, you got a fighting chance. So everything after that is bonus. So when you become an adult, we have a relationship, and that takes both parties to develop that relationship and maintain it. So, you know, some things are just up to choice, and you choose to maintain a relationship with a person, regardless of blood or anything.
Interesting. Chandra, thank you so much for your phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I will say this, and this goes to Sister Barnes' comment. I've cussed out my daughter, too, but not as an adult. When she was a teenager, she's been pretty good, so she's not incurred that wrath. However, I will say this, and this is just my own personality trait. I don't call anyone out of their name. Never called her, never called, you know, her mother or any family member that I may have been angry with over my entire life. I just don't call people out of their names. But like I said, they've heard on occasion, you know, particularly my daughter, once or twice, some very colorful metaphors that alerted her to the fact that daddy was quite displeased. But which is why she doesn't get it now, because even as a 22-year-old adult, she's a really good kid. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Richard, calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I just have my piece on the Kirk Franklin situation is, I mean, I understand, you know, that maybe that he could have went about it at a different way. But the fact is, when you have your child dropping the F-bomb at you and disrespecting you like that, then, you know, when Kirk Franklin went back at him, you know, it's like, you're my child. I'm raising you. So once you disrespect me, then it goes downhill from there. So everybody's looking, you know, looking back at, like, Kirk Franklin, well, he said this, he said that. What about his child that is 32 years old? So when you're 32, you're a grown man, and you're going on 33. So if you're 32 and you're going to think you're going to talk to me in that disrespectful manner, then guess what? Then we're going to go there. And if you're my child, and especially you're calling me asking me for money, let's not forget that. He was calling his dad, asking him for money, and his dad told him no, so then he wants to go ahead and act out of sorts. So now, when that happens, I'm going to give it to you.
Okay.
So.
Thank you very much, Richard. I appreciate your phone call. And this is the other thing that I think is really important, Sister Barnes, is that, and you live in the faith-based community, okay? And so you may be held to a different, if not higher, standard. And the Son is aware of that. And that's, we could argue that that is what he, that's why he put it out there. Do you believe that Kurt Franklin should have issued the apology that he did to the public?
Absolutely. I do. I think that.
See, I don't agree with that, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I respect that. I think that when we are in roles of leadership, that's the whole point. But you got to take the lead out of the leadership. And I think if we dilute that, then what is a leader? If we look like everybody else, right? Let's think about this. If the pastor, the first lady, we all in the club, we all turning up, we all cussing, we all drinking. Why? I'm just saying, can we talk about it? I'm up here sleeping around with everybody. Why should I listen to what you got to say? What are you telling me that is different from what I'm doing? And so I absolutely, unequivocally, I will go to the end of the earth with it. If you call yourself a leader, there's a standard. And then when we dilute that standard, we are in trouble. Absolutely. There's a standard here. And at the end of the day, people look up to Kirk Franklin. I've looked up to Kirk Franklin. I look for inspiration. All his songs. Yes. And so, brother, what I'm saying to you is, yeah, you're human, but what I'm saying, I'm looking to you for a standard. Can you show me what that looks like? And if it looks like we're in the street, you're saying it's okay to talk to your kids like somebody in the street. Because the thing is this, somebody else in the street, those are fighting words. Everything that came out of his mouth, we going at it immediately, ASAP, right now, what's up? But you're saying it's okay to talk to your child like that? I got a problem with that.
We're going to continue this conversation after this very, very brief break. If you're on the line, stay with us. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141 in just a few seconds. And don't forget, you can hear this in every episode of The Daily Drum via podcast on WHUR.com, posted before 9 p.m. every night. And don't forget, download the 96.3 HD2 app from Google Play or the Apple Store. John Mons is next on WHUR. This conversation continues on Sirius XM, Channel 141 and 96.3 HD2 in just a few seconds. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are talking about toxic family relationships, all of this coming on the heels of the Kirk Franklin recording released by his son about an argument between the two of them. My guests are Junetta Barnes, First Lady of Empowerment Temple AME Church in Baltimore, and Dr. Robert Evans, Licensed Clinical Professional Counselor. Lines are open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. So this is why I don't completely agree with the apology. One of the things that he said, I think that people should know, we don't have to reiterate the fact that he is human, and he is human, and that this was private family business that, hurt or not, a member of the family released to hurt him. And I don't, this was not, this was not criminal or you could argue immoral, maybe, because of those colorful metaphors, but this was a private family matter, and I just don't think that. And to that point, we've seen on social media a lot of people are like, Kirk, handle your business. A lot of support because he is a beloved figure and celebrity. But I don't know. Help me out here, Dr. Evans. I'm not so sure I would have been comfortable with doing that. I would just say, mind your business. I'm handling right. this.
Well, I actually did not hear the apology. To me, it depends on what he was apologizing for, because I think that it sounds like
he was apologizing for the language. He was apologizing right. For the language. That's
well, I agree with that apology. I think that, you know, the language, he allowed his son to get him. He gave his power away. You know, he gave his power away. He allowed his son to get him to not perform to his in his best. And that's the only thing that he was apologizing, that he should have been apologizing for. Not correcting his son, checking his son, all of that, yes. But when you allowed him, when you gave your power away to him, that's what you're apologizing for. Because, again, and I agree with what the pastor said as far as, you know, setting an example for how to not allow people to do that. You know, he actually gave his power away to his son when he did that.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Bruce calling from Maryland. Thanks for calling, Bruce. What's on your mind?
First, I'd like to say everybody needs to leave Kirk alone, because really, I find, and no offense to anybody on the panel, that sometimes folks of the cloth at the church could be so judgmental of what others do when they step outside of the norm. Kirk's son clearly was exhibiting signs that he was in some type of clinical crisis. The fact that there was a clinician that was on the phone says that they have access to a clinician at any given time. Since his son was in crisis, a parent, because I am a parent of someone who had some challenges, for the most part, we get exhausted. We do everything we're supposed to do with all the tools that they give us as a clinician, how to deal with the child. But this is an adult. When an adult steps to you the wrong way, I have three adult children right now, all males I raised by myself. And I can guarantee if any of them, no matter what the circumstances are, step out of line as their parent, I will put them in check. Regardless of the words that will come out of my mouth, I will put them in check. I understand the clinical issues, but there are times in which we get exhausted. We are tired. We have been through the mill with these children that are now adults with these clinical issues. And many of us don't always have the tools. So when Kirk exploded, that was possibly years of tension that built up within him, and he had to finally explode and let his son know, listen, we're not gonna go this route. If you want to step to me this way, I'm coming at you the same way you come at me. And that was just the other side of him. So I forgive him for what he said, his apology. He did not have to explain to anybody why he reacted that way. So I'm totally against that. He only says he should have apologized. No, he shouldn't. That's a family matter. And we do not know the history behind what was going on for us to judge where he is now with his child. Mm.
Okay. Bruce, thank you so much. Let me go back to the phone lines. Jeffrey calling from Maryland. Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for giving me an opportunity. I want to believe that social media and friends and influence have a whole deal to do with a lot of things with these kids and them nowadays. Kids have to realize that somewhere in line that they have to have an authority figure. And if kids don't realize that they have an authority figure, they will tend to believe they could do whatever they want and say whatever they want. Now, I don't agree with these doctors and them, because these doctors and them is part of the problem. Because if your kid doing something or your kids have a problem, they coincide with the kid and make the kid feel, well, okay, you have to accept them. You have to accept the behavior. You have to work with them. You know? I don't think Kurt Franklin did anything wrong. Because if you, a 32-year-old man, and your father is helping you and struggling and helping to help you get your situation right, you're supposed to respect that. You're supposed to pay him some real respect, because he's helping you. Whatever problem you have to be able to humble and say, okay, Dad, I'm sorry, or Dad, we don't have to do this. He didn't have no right to even post it on social media, okay? And this is wrong. Social media is what's spoiling this country, because everybody don't have no privacy anymore.
Okay. All right. Well, Jeffrey, thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. So let me ask both of my guests, and this is about fixing these problems, whether it's with your children or other family members. And I think Jeffrey just made a really important point. And I'll start, you know, with you, Dr. Evans. Whenever there is a conflict with family members or really anyone, it's a very simple thing. I don't agree with what you say, whatever that happens to be. How do you fix that when you have, obviously, in the Kirk Franklin case, a very, very strong opinion about whatever it was, whether it was about money or something else, whether the son wanted money and Kirk Franklin said no? How do you fix that without, you can't do it without somebody backing down, acquiescing?
Well, I think that, you know, and again, just to reiterate, you know, especially with this Kirk situation, there's so much information that we just do not know, you know, and they were apparently in counseling. They were working on things. There's so much missing information. But to answer the question as far as fixing things, you know, sometimes we don't see the fruit of our labor when it comes to putting the effort in and wanting to see results immediately, especially when it comes to helping family members and people close to us. We can witness people doing things and try to get them, you know, to do something different and change their behavior, and they absolutely don't want to, right? And so it's not always in our power to fix something immediately. But again, if you are a child or you know, relative of any sort, and you're asking a favor, and I say no, it's in my right to say no, and you can't force it. So I don't have to yell and scream at you to not give you what you're asking for. I could just simply say no. I could hang up on you. I could do all of that. So, you know, I think the giving of the power is when you allow somebody, because really when you're exploding like that and you're releasing, like the gentleman said, it could have been years of whatever. But again, it goes back to being able to use the tools that you had before you. And apparently he was trying to learn those tools in counseling. So he may not have had the tools. We don't know. But again, to answer your question, you know, it may not be a quick fix.
Mm-hmm. Sister Barnes, you had or have a difficult relationship with your brother. Mm-hmm. How have you been able to fix it, if at all?
Yeah, honestly, it's not fixed. It's not. And he's estranged. He looks at my siblings. He takes all of that energy out on my siblings and I. And so, you know, my position is, you know, as Michelle Obama says, when they go low, we go high. In other words, just because somebody gives it to you doesn't mean you have to give it back. And that's the example. You know, one thing the doctor said, what he keeps saying, and I think that's so good, is giving your power away. What Kirk Franklin has, he has power and influence. He's an example to other men, to other fathers, to other sons, daughters. How do I handle conflict? And that's not the way to do it. And I think that I appreciate that he said, you know what? I messed up. We all mess up. He acknowledged it. I'm working on it. Say it. And, you know, I think that's the beauty in it. He acknowledged that. So I think that was good that he did it. But we have to understand him and his position, he has power and influence. That is, what is the fruit of cussing your child out? That's the question. Are you going to get a better response? Or like the doctor said, you know what? I'm going to hang up. I'm not going to financially support you anymore. To me, that speaks volumes. You're going to get better results. It's about the fruit. What is the fruit of the cuss out? There is none.
Mm. And that's exactly what I ask people. You know, you always think about, what's the goal of the conversation? What are you trying to get out of this? If the goal is to fix the behavior, think about what you say before you say it. Is it actually going to fix the behavior if you call them a name or if you, you know, cuss them out or whatever the case may be? That's just something that makes you feel good for the moment. But
yeah,
it's not going to fix the behavior.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Jeffrey calling from D.C. Jeffrey, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Okay, great. All right. So, yeah, I kind of agree with a lot of this stuff. I mean, but it's bits and pieces, just like we really don't know what's going on. So being a person of faith, having some leadership, if you do get pressed, somebody presses your buttons to that point and you cuss somebody out, you're called anything but a child. That's when they treat you like you're everything but a child of God, but then that's like, you know, aren't you supposed to be a minister? I get that. So, I mean, I'm glad that he did apologize as far as what he said as far as cussing, and I also realized that, you know, yes, there was some manipulation how things are put out there, but one thing that I did say when I was pre-screened was, I heard looking at some of the blogs of that if he really does have a mental condition or something as far as like, you know, I realize, you know, counseling was something deeper, then yeah, he might have really thought about that. Like, you know, was that really the right thing? Or I think, you know, Harold, you were very observant of like, you know, if you call somebody out of their name, what does that mean? So mm-hmm. It's just like, you know, there's a lot of pieces that are coming out even now as far as like him saying that he was abused and that like physically abused. But we don't know how this is going to play out. But still, like I said, I mean, I feel like it is family business, that it's supposed to be private. But at the same time, I really am for Kirk Franklin. But the fact of he, if he was cussing him out from the point of, and you know that he has a particular mental condition, I felt with the guy who had three sons and trying to put him in his place. But still, for that fact, like, you know, is that going to do more damage if he has that documented, like, mental condition?
Okay. Thank you so much for that. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Giovanni calling from D.C. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. I felt like, of course, we don't know the back end of the story, but I feel like what is not really being addressed a lot of times is narcissism. And I believe that is something that people, we need to really pay attention to that illness. And it's like the previous caller said, you know, he may have a mental if he is acknowledging that he had a mental condition and he was, you know, verbally abusive, however you want to put it, I just feel like it kind of turns it around to make it seem like, well, he's actually the victim because he's having to deal with a son who has a mental illness, and unfortunately he used the, you know, the words that he used or whatever, whatnot. And so it makes it kind of like, how can I say, it kind of dumbs it down a little bit. When all actuality, the fact that he knows that he has a mental condition, it's like it speaks to the fact that like something is not okay here.
Let me stop you for a minute here, Giovanni. And I need Dr. Evans to help me with this. Narcissism is the most overused word in 2020 and 2021. Just because someone has a problem does not mean that they are narcissistic. And Dr. Evans, we need to stop overusing that term.
Not only that, you know, these disorders that people, you know, are diagnosed with and that they hold on to so dearly do not excuse them from their behavior. So
yeah,
working with people with mental health disorders for quite some time now, you know, you don't get a pass because, you know, you've been diagnosed with a disorder and you get to now do what you want. It doesn't work like that. Now, I don't know what his clinical diagnosis is,
right.
But, you know, again, narcissism is a personality disorder. It doesn't give him permission to go out and cuss his dad out or challenge his dad and get away with it. It doesn't work like that.
Let me say this about this, because this is my pet peeve. You know, I'm hearing a lot of people call people narcissists, okay, and it's not right, because is everybody a narcissist because they are concerned about whatever they are concerned about having to do with themselves? And I think that does a disservice. I don't know Kirk Franklin's son from a painting on my wall, and just because, as we said in the beginning, and Sister Barnes said that, you know, hurt people, but that doesn't mean that you're a narcissist. It means that you're hurt.
Absolutely.
You know, and so I think we really, really need to be careful about labeling people you know, narcissistic or anything like that. And that is why we have, you know, the expertise of a Dr. Evans here. But Giovanni, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts. Lynn, calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Lynn. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hi. I want to say hello to everybody, the panel there.
Hey, Lynn.
Good evening to you. I just want to say this, basically. I think this is easier said than done. To develop and maintain a relationship with your children effectively, it's easier said than done. I think somewhere along the point of development in that young man's life, there was some definite communication lacking, which is why we probably see the behavior exhibited. At 32 years old, you should not have to talk to your child that way at all. He's a young man. So I feel that at that point, what Kirk Franklin should have done was retreat from the situation. And sometimes that's more effective than literally entering into that circle with the person that you're arguing with. Then you can possibly come back and maybe discuss where we went wrong. So there's a communication level that's lacking there, needs to be addressed. And maybe they need to separate for some time to get some clarity on the things that they need to work on. But I don't necessarily blame Kirk Franklin extensively for what happened, but I don't dismiss what the child did anyway, along the lines of how he handled it. It should have been addressed as he was growing up. Thank you.
Okay. Lynn, thank you so much. And this brings another point when you're talking about fixing these toxic relationships, whether it's adult child and parent or other family members, Sister Barnes, because one of the things that I would say is that fixing conflicts within family, particularly when there are only opinions, there may not, you know, your facts are your facts and my facts are my facts. It requires a great deal of maturity to do that. Because, and I refer back even to my own situation as, you know, my father and I had a tumultuous relationship when I was a kid. But when I graduated from college, I made the decision that I wanted that relationship to get better. And I literally said, I must stop looking at my father as just my father, but get to know him as a man. It was the best decision that I have ever made when it came to relating to anyone, because we began to have man-to-man, and I don't mean conflict discussions, but just talks. And it really helped me understand who he was as a whole person. But it required me, because my dad's got a big ego, but it required, okay, I admit it, but it required me to pull back and say, do I love my father enough to want to learn how to love him in a better way? But that requires a lot of work, and a lot of people don't, unfortunately, they don't have the capacity to even enter into that space, Sister Barnes. It is hard.
Sure.
Yeah, you took a lot of your footing.
I think this is what I would say to that. And, prior to me, and of course I'm coming from a faith perspective, but prior to me, you know, getting into the Word of God and all of that, I had a temper. But what the Word of God has taught me is, you know, I think in Matthew 22:39, love thy neighbor as thyself. And Proverbs 25:28, where it talks about self-control. You know, if we call ourselves believers, Christians, and that doesn't mean we're perfect. Let me be clear. But the beauty of Christianity in the essence of itself is transformation. And there is, it's very clear in the Word of God about, you know, we look at Jesus, love. That's the greatest example of love. And so for me, I get that. Maybe Kirk was raised a certain kind of way. You know what I mean? I was raised in Detroit. We fought.
That's true. Now I get it. Now it all comes out. Detroit. She was raised in Detroit.
But thank God for the word.
Yeah.
So I learned, and there's a transformation when you have a relationship. And so I'm not here to judge them. I don't have a heaven or hell to put them in. But what I'm saying to you is that if you're following that, there will be a transformation, and then that's the, thank God for the blueprint, for the example. That's the goal. That's the goal. Do we miss the mark? Absolutely. But what I'm saying to you and saying to Kirk, why I felt like he needed, yeah, I apologize. All he's saying is, look at this. I'm a human. I made a mistake.
Yes.
That is not what is. That is not what we should be doing out in these streets, and I'm going to try to do better. I can respect that. I got nothing but love for that. That's all we're saying. Are you going to be perfect? No. Is there a perfect parent? No. Do your kids get on your nerves? Absolutely. You know, but it only should go so far. And so what I'm saying is the word of God. As a man, if he was just a rapper on these streets or whatever, a singer, a rap, whatever, that's different. We're saying I'm following a Christ. This is what Christ is telling me to do. This is my standard. If I don't meet that standard, then I miss the mark. And we deal with that every single day. I deal with it every day. Making sure we miss the mark, but we have to have a mark. And if we're saying we're believers, if we're saying Christians, would Jesus do that? No. So we missed it. We got to do better, people. And that's all Kirk said. So what I say to Kirk Franklin, I salute you, my brother. I salute that. This is not how we talk to our young brothers and sisters. No, because if I saw somebody doing that on the streets, I'd be like, bro, what's up? Yo, why you talking to your son like that? It's all good. I feel you, but it's a better way to do it. That's all we're saying. It's just a better way, bro. That's it.
Dr. Evans, go ahead.
I want to just say that, you know, I salute Kirk too, but it's for a different reason. You know, because one of the things that's not being said is that this is a grown man. And I'm just thinking about I have a son. I have two sons, right? And my son and I had our come to Jesus moment when he was 18, and he's 21 now. There's no way he's going to be in his 30s, and we still having the same conversation. So that means that Kirk has been putting up with a lot for a long time, way longer than I would have. So, you know, he's been dealing with a lot with this guy. So I think that, you know, we got to take our hat off for the patience. And he's been, you know, we don't know what's been going on, but that's a long time. 30-something years, and you haven't figured it out yet.
And I think that is a critical point, not only for Kirk Franklin, but also, you know, for his son, whatever his issues happen to be. And certainly we don't know all of the details. But, at some point, which is a point that I was making earlier, at some point I said, let me stop arguing with my father and talk to him as, you know, as a man. And it was a complete woo-saw moment. And sometimes you need to reconsider everything and figure out what is more important, what you're arguing about or the relationship.
But that took a lot of humility for you to do, man, and setting your pride aside. And pride is the main reason why people don't do what you did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think, too,
you had the tools. At some point, you got some tools that allowed you to be mature enough to do that. Everybody doesn't have access to that.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly the point I was making. Thank you so much for that. Let me take the last call. Alisa, calling from Michigan. Detroit? Alisa, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Detroit. But what I was calling to say is that I really don't think that Kirk Franklin really needed to apologize, because that was two men that was having a conversation. You have to understand that Kirk Franklin has come from a really bad background, from what we understand. And so the cursing and the going back and forth, that's just what he knows. And every Christian at some point has come out of their character when someone has kind of upset them. So, you know, that was personal family business. I really don't think that he needed to apologize to us.
Okay. Thank you, Alisa. I appreciate your thoughts about that. Your final thoughts, Sister Barnes, about just trying to fix those family dynamics within the parameters of keeping things in house. You said your situation with your brother isn't fixed. It hasn't been resolved. Are you going to leave it alone? Or are you going to keep trying? And what advice do you have, spiritual or otherwise?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think at the end of the day, if someone gets you to the point where you have to step outside of your character like that, then I think it's best to leave it alone. And so even with my brother, that's exactly what we did. I realized it was very contentious and all of that, and I cannot allow myself. It's not healthy. It's not fruitful. There's no fruit from it. You know, it's push, push, push. That's never going to, you know, gain the results you're looking for. So at the end of the day, for me and my family, you know, we got love from, but we don't talk. We don't have a relationship because I was not willing to step outside of myself because of all of that. And so my suggestion to people is that if you deal with anybody, your child, your mate, your sibling, your mother, your father, you name it, you can love people from afar. You can love people from afar and understand that some relationships, I think someone said it earlier, it may not get fixed. But I think at the end of the day, as long as you're acting how, you know, what is respectful and representative of who you're trying to be, then you did your part. That's my takeaway with it. At the end of the day, if my brother were to come back and try to have a healthy relationship, that door is always open. There was no cuss out, none of that. But I just knew you're pushing so many buttons, and I'm not going to allow myself to stop outside of myself.
Yeah. I think we can end the conversation right there. Janetta Barnes, Dr. Robert Evans, thank you both for talking to us. Thank you for your honesty and your transparency. I'm sure Detroit misses you, Sister Barnes. Thank you both so very much.
Thank you for having me.
That is the Daily Drum for this Tuesday, March 16th. I'm Harold Fisher. Now, stay tuned for Unheard with Wes Hall. Good night.